and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Okay, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. And today is February the 21st, 2017. It is a Tuesday, and I just want to thank you all sincerely for listening to Tando Radio Show and being part of Tando Radio Show. You could be somewhere else, and we truly, truly, and I truly, truly appreciate each and every single one of you. So with that being said, everyone, let's take care of some of the administrative duties and obligations that we have, and that is for us all to continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And you can simply and easily do that by going to Black Talk Radio Network's website of www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and giving some of your financial energy by way of donations. And you can do that on the far right-hand margin. You'll see the prompt for donations in green and white, the green and white holding hands. You could just hit that, and that will lead you into how you could give some of your financial energy so that this network can continue to bring you what it's been bringing you and the programs that you listen to and that you have come to admire, come to hate, come to however you feel about it, but come to actually utilize. And the information that's given to you, that you can support it so it can continue to be here. And I always like to say, don't just eat the fruit. It's very important, and there's a responsible side of feeding the root so that you do not consume more than what you use, and you don't become wasteful. And it's very, very important that we do that, that we take care of some of our own institutions, because there are many others that are taking care of their institutions. And sometimes we ask the questions of why. And why is because that we have to become to the overall value of things, else things will continue to go the way that they're going. They'll get far worse. So it is incumbent upon you to uphold the overall vision of Black Talk Radio Network, because the vision was about bringing you some of the things that you need. So you could do that by giving some of your financial energy. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established BTR Community, which is a social media network, so that you can engage in all of your social media activities without using some of the mainstream ones that are already there, and I call them the lame screen, such as Facebook and the other mainstream media outlets, which are actually being used adversely against you in so many different ways. They're actually seeing what you're doing and making adjustments to it. And we're going to talk about, you know, one of the ways that has happened. You know, Scotty and I were just talking before we went on air. He posted some things from Oroville Dam, and we posted a photo yesterday of Oroville Dam and some of the individuals that had posted that on their social media. Some of those individuals were fired because of it. Why? Because they did it on a platform that the mainstream media uses for its advantage. And that continues to happen. And this is why it's so important for you to minimize your overall adverse interactions by going to a site that is not there to harm you. You can promote what you want to promote. You can promote your postings, your business, yourself, or whatever it is, in a way that you will not be adversely affected by it. So check out BTR Community. It's only $24 a year. Come on over. It's the only place where I post because I know that my identity and your identity won't be sold to any bidder. So come on over to BTR Community. And you can find that also by going to www.btrcommunity.com. So that's what you could do there. Also, on March the 25th, 2017, next month on the 25th, the Volt Media Group is going to have an economic symposium, and that is going to be the Family Business Private Wealth Seminar in Dallas, and that is going to be from 1 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and the fees for couples is $100 for couples and $125 for single individuals. And this is going to be a great opportunity. I know some of the guest speakers that will be there, and some of the information that they bring to everyone is vitally important. So we will also have some Volt Media Group individuals that will come and talk about the platform that they're going to be having. And I will be one of the speakers that will be there. So we'll definitely look forward to meeting some of you all. And you can easily how you can do it is right. We posted it inside of BTR Community, inside of the Tando Radio Show's page. Or if you would like to get more information, you can reach out to me. You can text me at 951-790-8330, and I will send you the e-vite that was sent to me for you, so that you can RSV for the overall engagement. And they're only going to have 80 people, and they have their different ways of why they're doing it, because they know the overall curriculum and how it's all set up, and they're only going to take 80 people. So they wanted to give you guys an opportunity to jump in on that. And what it's going to be about is the importance of controlling assets and minimizing your liability by ownership. And there are a lot of people that have been doing this for years that have protected themselves so that their families can have some prosperity that they can leave to them as an inheritance that is immune from different penalties. And it's very, very important that we understand these things and how they work and why they're going to be so useful and important to you all. So, but also I want to say, had a comment from a sister on the event, and the sister was saying that she was disappointed. She said her direct quote was, "Wow, you penalize singles but reward groups if they want to attend whatever the seminar is." What was that? Oh, 1 second. Sorry about that. And 1 second, let me fix this really quickly. And that was her comment. And her comment was, "Wow, you penalize singles but reward couples if they want to attend whatever the seminar is. Just wow." And I would just say that for a couple of things, and hopefully I get to talk to this sister. Don't want to call her out by name, but you're more than welcome to give us a call here at Tando Radio Show. Sister, I see you, and I hope that you understood my response to you was not had any form of malice or aggression towards it at all. It was just that, you know, it's hard to convey things in types. You know, and that's one of the things that we have in today's society. We don't have human relations anymore. It's all done through a unemotional or a unexpressed texting and everything else. So sister thought that we were penalizing singles. Well, and I said, no, that's not my direct quote was to her was, This isn't my event, nor do I set the cost, because it's not my event. I don't set the cost. The Vote Media Group is who I directed her to direct her concerns to Vote Media Group, which they'll be on later on. And then I said there could be a reason for the pricing schedule, since neither you nor I do the put the event together, because we didn't put the event together. They've been doing this for a while. They have a curriculum. They know why they're doing it, and they know what their target demographic is and how they have everything structured at different seminars for the year that they do and at different presentations. They actually have a format for everything, and there's reasons why they have that format. So I said, went on to say, I didn't put it together, this event together, nor did you. We outwardly have no clue as to the nomenclature. We don't know why they set the price for $100 per couple and $125 for singles. I have an idea. I talked to them recently today, as a matter of fact, and I know why, and it makes all the sense in the world. Then I went on to say the name of the seminar is Family Business Private Wealth, not Business Private Wealth. There are different rules and applications for families and couples and individuals for taxes and structures regarding the information. There's no intention to penalize anyone. They're not trying to penalize anyone. They actually want to encourage our families to come out to do things more together. Is it penalizing singles? No, not at all. But what they want to do is they definitely want to get families. Our families are in so much, is in a dysfunctional state, and especially dysfunctional economically. These brothers and the sisters that were putting this together, they wanted to give some incentives to the families coming out, and this is why they wanted to have a family business private wealth. Because that is so, so important, because if a single person, especially for the information that's going to be there, this is really about inheritance. This is really about a family, what they're going to be focused on, family business and private wealth from there. So it's family that is the overall focus of this whole thing. And they didn't, if they wanted to penalize anyone, they would say no singles at all. They have exclusions and everything else, but they want to encourage more families. And I think that if you look at the how they're framing it, they said couples. They didn't specifically say married couples or anything else. You could bring. They want you to bring people in your family, your son, your daughter, your So with so many things, the intention is not to to penalize anyone. And then one of the replies that the sister had was, "Wow, again." I get it, but sister is no intention at all. I think. It's very, very important for us to see the importance of our families. Is it important for us individually? Yes, the individual importance is there. It's definitely there. But these individuals, since they put this together, they wanted to focus on the family. Why? Because that's, there's other reasons. You know, part of the cost could be subsidized by how many couples that they have there that someone else is paying for. The other, those individuals, we never really know what goes on behind closed doors. We really, really don't. And sometimes there are donations and thoughts of generosity that people don't want to be disclosed to the general population. And I think whenever someone is doing something for the overall benefit of the people, I think we support it. And I know that this sister understands that, and I get what she's saying, but no, there is no intention at all to penalize singles or just coming by yourself. But the overall genesis of this symposium and this seminar is for families. They want couples. They want people in. You want you to bring someone with you. They don't just want you to hear the information by yourself. They want it to be reached to the family. And also the structure of it all is what they're going to be talking about is structured around the family. So hopefully you understand what that was about. So anytime, sister, you know who you are. If you would like to call in, I would love to hear from you. 866-510-9025. Then hit **. All love, much love, and much respect to you. And I thank you for your comment. I try to read some of the comments that are made through YouTube that Scotty posts up the podcast and everything else. I don't always get to them, but I saw that one. Of course, I was going to answer that. So would love to hear from you. And I think that you get it and you understand what it was all about. So no, it's, and I get what you're saying. No, we're not. There's no one that's trying to penalize anyone. It's actually just the opposite. It's trying to create an environment to where we can prosper and our families can move into a direction. Because what happens in society, economies attack. They attack the generations. They attack the family. And then the individuals are affected by that. So there are some very formidable foundations that we need to establish within our families. So that is what I wanted to respond to there. So, okay, so let's jump into what's in the news. And the first article that we have that's there is from news.co.au, is Australia. And it says, for tomorrow, could this be more alien worlds? The leading space agency has announced, which they're saying NASA, a press conference to take place on Thursday morning to present new findings on planets that orbit stars other than our sun, known as exoplanets. So check out, NASA is going to have something that they're going to, for all of you people that are interested in stuff like that, I know I am, because I know that this universe continues to have, is teeming with great life forms, and it's not just what we see here. So check out that article. Next article, I'm going to go through these really quickly. This one comes from the Duran.com. 4 dead Russian diplomats in 3 months. Vitaly Chukin was one of the wisest voices in the international diplomacy. His voice will no longer be echoed in the halls of the UN. And I remember this gentleman. I actually did like him as in his overall presentation about different things. I was going to talk about it yesterday. I get the Russian ambassador to the UN died of a heart attack yesterday in New York. And this is the fourth Russian diplomat to die in 3 months. And I'm going to just tell you, whoo, man. And if you look at the writings on the wall, I had said a while ago to some of our some people that took our preparedness class and to some of my friends, I said the assassination period is now, we're in the assassination stage, and definitely are, and it's going to have some backlash in that. So check out that article. Next one, Raj sent this one. My man Raj sent this one, and this comes from Vice. What it's like documenting the brutal Philippines drug war comes from Vice. So check out that. That article. Next one, Raj sent this one also. This came from Business Insider. The border has spoken. Puerto Rico is to be hit with painful austerity measures. Excuse me. The board has spoken. Puerto Rico is to be hit with painful austerity measures. Man, austerity measures is something that we talk about here on Tando Radio Show on different shows, and Puerto Rico is going to be hit with it. We need to definitely talk about it because it's going to extend to you all as well. Great article, Roz. Thank you so much, brother. Much love, much respect. Next article comes from Business Insider. Trump's new national security advisor is hawkish on the Russians, a big reversal from Flynn. And I said that the overall moves and steps towards war is definitely going to be played out for Russia and China. So check out that article. Next article, also from Business Insider. The U.S. is getting closer and closer to embarrassing in itself with China. Check out that article. Really good one as well. Next important article, my commentary on this one said, this will work for sure. Estonia worried sexy Russian agents could provoke bar fights with NATO troops. Sorry about that. They're saying that, and this is one of the tactics that the Russians have used for a while, and believe me, is one that always works. So that they're saying that the Russian agents could provoke bar fights within NATO troops. Not only that, they're going to infiltrate and get all the information that they want. Very, very important. Another article, next article from the University of Vermont. Let me make sure. Yeah, the University of Vermont because this is a very, very important article. And I said, save the bees, no bees, no food. There's an app that the University of Vermont has made that shows the overall mobile app for the bee population and how to curtail it. So check that out. I would definitely say for those of you that can start beehiving, you will get the benefits of establish a beehive, but do it, make sure that you do it correctly. Seek some good counsel and some professional assistance on that, or go to the University of YouTube and find out how to do that. We really should start putting beehives all over the place, especially wherever we're growing food. If you have a garden that you have, you definitely want to increase the overall bee presence so that your garden can be pollinated by the bees. So important. So check that out. Next article comes from the South China Morning Post. Ex-diplomat confirms that U.S. Marine Force will guard de facto embassy in Taiwan. Very, very important. China is not going to like that at all. So check out that article, and that has some real ramifications that we talked about before. Next article comes from the South Sea of China Morning Post. China's central bank leads charge to shine regulatory light on the risky business of shadow banking. China definitely does have a shadow banking problem. It's been for a while, and it's very harmful, and it's playing itself out. And one of the things about that, while China is increasing regulations, the U.S. is trying to deregulate itself. How marked and how true to opposite direction things are going there. So check out that article. Yes, China definitely has some economic problems, are some very severe ones, and this shadow banking is a very, very huge, big problem that they have. That's just the truth being told. Next article, and this one came from, we missed this one. It doesn't show up as well, but it's a really good one. This comes from the Global Times, and that's one of China's there it is. It's right there. Oops, let me put this back. All right, this comes from Global Times. Chinese scientists capable of reviving the mammoth. Check out the process in which they're doing in reviving the mammoth. So this is some of that Jurassic Park stuff. I don't like this type of, because I have an idea where this stuff is going to go, and I don't think that it's something that's going to be good for us all. So check out that article. Next article, really good one. This comes from the University of Vermont as well. The consequence of inequality, public relations. And this is a book that was written by one of its professors, Davis, Kay Davis. So check out what this sister is saying from the University of Vermont. Very, very good book and very good article about what she was talking about there. And I'm just real quickly. My book is about the Flint community, response to environmental racism and the true history and legacy of pushback there, and the degree to which citizens have any real power or voice to make change, is what Davis said. It wouldn't be about the speculation we saw unfolding on TV after Flint and Hurricane Katrina and the anecdotal studies that followed. So check out that article. Sister has some real good work there. Next article, Brother Bragg sent us this one. Thanks, Brother Bragg. This one comes from congress.gov. Text HR 899, the 115th Congress, 2017-2018, to terminate the Department of Education. So check out that. Very, very important. Also, there's a Twitter feed for what's happening in California, and we will definitely check some of that out that we put there, and you can check out some of the things that people have been putting there, and it keeps you up to date on what's going on there. So check out that. Also, next one comes from Business Insider. U.S. deploys nuclear sniffer aircraft after detecting a spike in radiation in Europe, and I guess there was either a tactical nuke or some radioactive problem that happened in the Arctic. So the U.S. is engaging in this and is probably dealing with Russia. So very important. Check out that article. Next article, also from the Business Insider. U.S. just sent an aircraft carrier strike group to mix it up with China. See, check out that article as an extension of that. So those are some of the things that are what's in the news, and I just wanted to give you that. Make sure I didn't forget anything. No, I don't think I did. So got all of that covered there. So we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show is the how California's crisis affects you, best and worst case scenario. So what's going on in California is not over. It's, in my opinion, I think it's only just beginning. And it has many different directions in which it could go and many different opportunities for someone that has a malicious a malicious agenda or someone that has a benevolent agenda that definitely can play itself out in the all of the in-betweens. So it's a lot of different things that's going on there that I think that we need to definitely talk about and get in front of. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, what I want to do is just give you an update as to some of the things that was happening last night in California. They had a lot of rain, a lot of wind in different places closer to the Sierras. They had wind gusts up to 199 miles per hour or in 190 to 199 and sometimes eclipsing 200 miles per hour. Very, very windy, a lot of rain. And this was going on in Northern California, near the Sierra. So it's this was something that is going to just add to the overall problems as the last couple of winter is not over yet, and the rainy season in California. In Northern California with the snowpack and everything else and just the overall adverse weather, the wet weather is not over, and this is going to cause some real, real problems, which we need to talk about in today's show. So what I want to do that is there was the Sacramento Bee has a Twitter account, and they've been keeping everyone abreast as to what is going on there in California, and I think it was a really good one of the good things that's there. And I wanted to just run across some of those things just to give you an update as to what's going on there in California. But of course, at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9029. So what I want to do real quick, let's pull this up, some of the things from this Twitter account. Let me go back to here. And then we'll take a look at, just want to give you an update, because this is a good one where they give you some updates as to what's going on in California. We want to talk about that in today's show. And then I think it's very important for you to look at what's going on in California and just look at where you are and apply some of the things that's going on there as to how it would affect you. And you'll see why it has some real legs, this what's going on in California. So we'll definitely take a look at that. So let me just pull this down to get this to... Okay, here we go. All right, so pull this... I had it right here. Let me pull this account up. This comes from the Sacramento News, the Bee, Sacramento Bee. So let's take a look at just some of the things that's going on. Now, last night during the rain, there were different levees that had actually were compromised, and there were evacuation. People were told to evacuate. It wasn't a forced evacuation. It gave advisements for people to evacuate. But the Oroville Dam itself did a little bit better, but that is not really the truth of what's going on with the Oroville Dam. Oroville Dam is not out of trouble at all. And what has happened is that there were other dams and other reservoirs that started to spike, and we need to take a look at that. So let's just really quickly, let me pull up some of the things that's going on there in California as we speak to get a up-to-date on what's happening there. So today, I guess, was a beautiful day. And, after, you know, a lot of times in California, after it rains, it's really, really beautiful. But this the wet weather and the overall storms are not over for California, so we're going to have to endure some more. Okay, so here we go. Some of the things as to up-to-date. Give me 1 second. This comes from Sacramento. This is the actual – 1 sec. This is the weather. Sorry, you all. Give me 1 sec. This is the weather update for California. Okay, so some of the things that we have going on here. It doesn't want to work for me. Okay, so we'll go to here. All right, so they're having some, and this was like 8 hours ago, isolated thunderstorms today, some of the things. And then there was on the I-80, or Interstate 80 is now closed due to whiteout conditions because of the overall snowpack that's going on there. So that was what's going on now. Then this was just 4 minutes ago. They're saying that there's, and this is from the National Weather Service for Sacramento, isolated thunderstorms are possible today. Make sure to seek shelter if you hear thunder or hail. This is some of the things. And then they also closed some roads that is going closed from Williams, some road closure. Also, there was the evacuation advisory lifted from the Dry Creek area, because last night, because of some levees and compromise of some of the rivers and everything, they actually gave that evacuation for people to evacuate, but it was not a order to evacuate. And it just says, don't let your guard down. Storm impacts ongoing through the week, especially flooding concerns. So they're going to continue to get more rain, and they're going to see more widespread flooding in California, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So 4 hours ago, a flash flood warning has been issued for parts of the Delta due to concerns with the levees, and it says prepare now. And this is some of the flash flood warnings in this area was, where was it? Part of the Delta. And then goes on, says the rain gave a rain count. And then it just, Caltrans was shutting down the I-80 because of weather. And that was just some of the things. Now, one of the things that I wanted to hear some of the things, the snow pack, is going to be heavy snow that's going to be moving through Northern California, close to the Sierra Crest. He said there were powerful winds last night, gusting up to 199 miles per hour and 193 miles per hour in the Sierra Crest, and Mount Ward had 199. That is, you know, that's some hurricane storm winds, ladies and gentlemen. I forget what which one that would be, a hurricane, a category, maybe I can't remember, so I don't want to say. So a lot, that's heavy, heavy winds. I've been in that type of wind before in Alaska, no joke. There was just some flooding that was going on throughout the state. The whole state is really starting to deal with water saturation and flooding. It's the whole state is soaked right now. So it went on through some of the participation, some of the rain that happened that was in California. So you could check it out there. And so that was just a rundown. Then there was a voluntary evacuation order that was given last night on the 20th around 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 a.m. From 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. So they gave a voluntary evacuation for people that were actually in the Dry Creek area. And then the San Joaquin River was starting to breach its levees. The levee break south of Woodward Road in the San Joaquin River had some major levee damage and problems that's going on. So I wanted to put that out. Oh, a couple more. San Joaquin River was having flash floods, and the levee breach was happening a potential inundation route. They show where the water would be going. So gave that, and it had heavy winds, as I said before. So just wanted to give you some update on what it was. There's nothing been posted since then, but things are ongoing. And now what I want to talk about real quickly is that what's going on in California, why should you be so concerned? Well, California is extremely, extremely vital to the overall economy of the United States, and it will definitely have some effect on you regardless of what state you live in. So we need to talk about that and to see how this is going to play itself out so that you can position yourself and your family accordingly. But, of course, at any time during the show, if you'd like to jump in, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025 and hit **. So what I want to do, we're going to start off on today's show. Give me one second. Let me put it back on so I can see the board in case we have a caller. Okay. Hopefully that works. Yep. Okay. What I want to do is that I want to pull up an article that we didn't get to yesterday, and it's very, very important. There's a couple of two articles that we need to take a look at, and then we need to talk about this because it directly affects you if you're in California or if you're not in California. But definitely if you're in California, I would say do not think because it was sunny and the overall raining has stopped. The threat of what's going on is still going on. And sorry, Scotty, I see you said something, but it kicked me out. So I'm going to have to log back in. So if there was something that you needed to say to me, you wanted to say, just jump in real quick because it kicked me out of Uber conference. So I'll get back in after the commercial break. So if there was something, just unmute yourself, Scotty. Sorry about that. I just saw it real quick, but I couldn't respond to it. Okay, so what I want to do is that there's an article that we need to take a look at. And this one comes from, one second, this one comes from psmag.com. And it says, here's the worst case scenario at Lake Oroville. So we need to take a look at that. And we just pull this article up, and we will definitely hammer this out and decipher this and dissect this because I think it's very, very important. Okay, here's the article. And this, like I said, this came from psmag.com. Here's an entitled list. Here's the worst case scenario at Lake Oroville, an interview with Peter Gerlich about what might lie ahead for America's tallest dam and the people living in the shadow. Well, it's not just them, like I said, everyone. It is you as well. So it's regardless of what happens in California as far as its overall levees and its reservoirs and its overall flooding, that not only is going to affect the immediate people that live in California, but it's going to have an effect on you as well. So let's check out what this article says, and this, we're going to check out another one and then put this all together, why you should know. Though the initial emergency at Lake Oroville seems to have passed, a new surge of rainfall is on the way, enough to threaten renewed concerns at America's tallest dam. Residents were allowed to return to their homes on Tuesday, but serious damage remains. Crews at the dam in the beleaguered dam are working around the clock to stabilize and reinforce the emergency spillway in anticipation of up to a foot of additional rainfall that's predicted over the next 10 days. Now, very important, this one was written on Friday, okay, on the 16th. So for the next 10 days to the 26th or so, they're going to have rain in California. So their overall the overall deluge is not over. So here it goes. It continues. I lost my spot. One second. Trying to log in. Trying to do two things at one time. All right. So, and reinforce the emergency spillway in anticipation of the up to a foot of additional rainfall that is predicted over the next 10 days. Likely to, again, boost lake levels, but the scale of action, trucks after trucks of giant boulder dumping 1,200 tons of rocks per hour was small in comparison to the immense scale of erosion that had already taken place. There's a real risk that the lake could, again, overtop. Here's how we got to this point. Move this down. Over the weekend, amidst the rainiest start of the rainy season, and it's just started in California, on record in Northern California, Lake Oroville Lake Oroville spilled its banks. As of late Saturday, the reservoir elevation at Lake Oroville was 902 feet at sea levels, at 100% capacity. The dam itself, the lake itself, can only hold 900 feet. That's the height of it. And it was already at 101 capacity. At one of the largest reservoirs in the United States, this has never happened before, and close observers are watching with a bated breath. Water is really erosive. They use water to cut steel. This was the quote, and I don't know where they got this quote from, but that's very, very true. Water is erosive, and they use water to cut steel. All right, on Sunday, it had became clear that the hillside supporting the emergency spillway, which has never been used in the dam's 48 years history, was starting to crumble from the first time in 1992 Los Angeles riots. For the first time since 1992, Los Angeles riots, the entire 23,000 member forces of the California National Guard was put on alert, anticipating the worst-case scenario. Officials ordered the evacuation of nearly 200,000 people who have since been allowed to return to their homes, though an evacuation warning remains in place. Since Sunday, the lake levels have dropped more than 20 feet. They actually got it down to right now it's 30 feet. The last that I checked, it's just above, well, it's actually 27 feet. The last I checked, it was at 853 feet. Okay, and that's the main spillway. Oh, where it was? Okay, temporarily easing the pressure on the dam. Now, one of the things I want to say about the dams is that dams are never meant to be full, to where the water is actually bracing up against the overall dam itself. You never, ever want, because it's just too much pressure, okay? So they're never meant to, you never meant mean for a dam to be, or a reservoir that is dammed to be full to capacity, because it just puts too much pressure. All right, it goes on. Easing the pressure on the dam. The main spillways, despite damage, is operating nearly fully at full capacity, a flow rate equal to 60% of the Mississippi River at St. Louis, is well short of 50 feet off. Authorities have been hoping the lake levels would drop to before the rain arrived, which they were able to get it down to. However, to be absolutely clear, the main dam itself is not at risk, though that's not necessarily a comfort to those living in the shadows. The weakest part of the dam complex is the emergency spillway, a 20 to 30 foot concrete structure that has that is adjacent to a hillside. During last week's overtopping event, massive erosion began to undermine the structure. If the lake overtops again, the erosion could continue. To understand what might happen in this scenario, the chief scientist at the Pacific Institute and frequent visitor to Lake Oroville has cautioned that we do not work as an engineer, though he does have an undergrad degree from Yale in engineering and applied science. He emphasized that the scenario we discussed was very unlikely to occur without additional overtopping event. Even then, it's still unlikely. We spoke earlier this week when Lake Oroville was still exceeding capacity. But the same basic scenario would apply if the lake again returns. So what happens next? Overlapped again. So what happens next? This could go no further. This could draw the lake down and reduce the pressure on the emergency spillway and avoid a big uncontrolled release, or it could be unbelievable catastrophe. We don't know. In the worst case scenario, what would happen if they lose the emergency spillway? If they lose the emergency spillway, if it is eroded at the base at some point of the emergency spillway collapse, they would lose 20 to 30 feet of water off of the surface of the reservoir. That's about 350 acre feet. No, 1 acre is equivalent to about 325,000 gallons, which is as much water as a family uses for 4 years each year. And it's like cutting a hole. It's like cutting a hole 50 feet high in a hillside. The water would cascade down the hillside, and that's a lot of water. That by itself will flood the city of Orville and cause downstream damage. The worry is that the water itself would further erode what is running over. There's a lot of bedrock there, but if there is a channel that isn't bedrock, they could lose more than 20 feet height if it was eroded a bigger gap, and they would lose an additional amount of water. Water is really erosive, and they use water to cut steel. So it was this individual that said that. If it's in a like narrow channel, that's the worry. Is the dam itself at risk at this situation? Nobody is to say that the dam is no one is saying that the dam is going to collapse, but if the hill collapse or the hill erodes, then you can get the same loss of water, meaning it doesn't really matter if the actual dam collapses, ladies and gentlemen. On the side of the Orville Dam is the emergency spillway, and then there's the spillway and then the emergency spillway. If the emergency spillway goes, then all of the water that's in the reservoir, the dam won't go, but the water will still go by way of the emergency spillway. That's a big, big, big problem. So it goes on. Nobody is saying that the dam is going to collapse, but if the hill collapses or the hill is eroded, then you get the same loss of water. The worst case scenario is that you lose the emergency spillway, and it just gets worse and worse, a chain reaction. If the emergency spillway goes, that means the overall ground, which the dam itself is actually connected to, is now compromised. Now the whole dam could be compromised, and then it could collapse. How much water is 350 acre feet? A lot, but it's only about 10% of the lake's total capacity. Remember, this is one of the largest dams in the world. Total urban water use of California is about 7 million acres per year. That's about only the total California use is only 7 million acres per year. So about 20 times 350 acre feet is enough to irrigate about 100 acres of cropland in the Central Valley. But remember, this also is that the water would be lost anyway. One of the primary functions of the Orville Dam is to provide space for flood waters. This is at this time of year, and they're trying to keep flood space open for exactly this reason. There's a lot of snow in the mountains upstream. We will still get more storms this winter. The only reason that the reservoir is flooding now is because the main spillway failed, so that the reduction in the outflow, and in doing so, the lake filled up. Okay, so what they're saying is that the lake filled up because the compromise of the outflow. So now when they can't outflow it, that means that the reservoir is going to fill up. And when it's all over, they're going to spill this water anyway because they need to keep flood space for spring runoff. No matter what, they're going to have to release this water. The 350 acre feet is not exactly usable water that is going to be lost if there isn't a disaster. It's water that would flow down the river in the wet year anyway. Okay, so it goes on. What's the long-term impact for California statewide delivery water system as a result as a result of what happened right now at Lake Oroville. Let me preface this by stressing that I'm not saying that the worst case scenario is going to happen. It's unlikely, but God knows. The whole thing itself could be unlikely. Oroville is a critical component of the state-funded water project. It is the biggest reservoir in the state water project. The state's biggest reservoir is Lake Shasta. Part of the federal-funded Central Valley Project, both move water from mountains to coast and from north to south. If we were to lose Oroville, a very sustainable amount of agriculture land would have to be pulled out of production, and delivery to some big cities in the south, including Los Angeles, are likely to be threatened. That's the important component of the system. We've already had difficulties in meeting demands of water. If we're lucky and there is no big erosion event, then there'll be no uncontrolled release, and they'll be able to draw down the reservoir enough at the end of the season that they're going to have to fix the main spillway. They're going to have to fix the main spillway. The initial cost is already at $100 million to $200 million. So what they're saying is that now, if this dam goes, and here's the part that's not being really talked about, is that Oroville is a reservoir that other rivers and other dams and other reservoirs released into. And they haven't even started the spring runoff. And the snow is piling up in the Sierras. And so what happened last night, they were able to, the outflow for the water of the Oroville Dam was around, I saw it a couple of times, it was like 90,000 per second, 90,000 gallons per second, almost 100,000 gallons per second that they were releasing. That it was intaking, but it was only releasing 60,000 gallons per second because they couldn't release as much as they want to because they have a major problem with that spillway being eroded. And the problem with that spillway is that hole that's there is so huge that it started to erode the whole mountainside. And the spillway, and if they have to use it, if it starts to come over, it's going to go down that spillway, and they don't want to use that, and they don't want to use the emergency spillway because it started to have the erosion of the dam on the other side. So if the earth is moving, they're moving the earth by the amount of water that's being released, outflow. They need to outflow. They need to relieve the pressure so that the dam won't be compromised to where they lose the whole darn dam. So what happens now is here's the major problem with Oroville Dam. They are not out of the woods at all because they stopped the other rivers and they stopped the other dams and they stopped the other reservoirs from being able to release into Oroville Dam right now in reservoir so that they could get that thing down to 50 feet. But while they're doing that, the overall rain runoff and the flash flooding and the overall saturation of the ground and the runoff into the rivers are not stopping. This is why you're starting to see the levees starting to break all over the place in California right now, in Northern California. And that's only going to continue to happen because they need to let those rivers and the dams and the reservoirs release into Oroville because it's the larger one. But Oroville is already compromised, so they're already behind. Only thing that they're doing is buying time, but the rain is not stopping. The snowpack is going to be huge. And if you look at this Oroville Dam, I don't think it's a coincidence at all because of the overall and structural integrity of it is to be questioned. How they actually built the emergency spillway is to be questioned. And Scotty had posted, and I think, and I'm glad Scotty did, Scotty had posted, and I posted yesterday some pictures of the actual hole. And this hole is so huge. It's you know, you could barely see a man standing in it. There's a picture of it with two people standing, and they look like little ants. And the overall compromise of the spillway is so huge, and then the compromise of the emergency spillway with so much erosion that was there, that they're afraid that if they release too much, they're going to have problems. And then if the dam gets over 900 feet and you have overlap, you got major problems, because now you got to open up that overall emergency spillway, and then now you're going to open it up to where it's already been eroded so much that it will continue that overall erosion. Yes, they're trying to fill it and everything else, but it's just like dropping. It's a temporary solution to a major problem when you have water. Water's density and water strength is beyond compare. Here's the problem. The rain is not stopping. You're going to have more rain coming in. The runoff is not stopping. The overall dams and levee, they're having major problems at Anderson Reservoir and I forgot the other one with the M. Moat River, I think it is. I got to check. They're having major problems there. Well, they're having major problems everywhere, and the overall capacity of those dams and those reservoirs are getting to exceedingly high levels. They're over, they're getting to where they're getting to close to the top. They're way above their average, but they're getting to where they can have over runoff everywhere because the whole area is saturated with water. Now, here's the thing. If that, at some point and at some time, they're going to have to release the water from the other dams into Oroville. Because if those dams go, then all of it is going to release into Oroville, and it's going to be a cascading domino effect. And as this water continues to come, you know, as it continues to rain, and then once the snow melt happens and you have the runoff that's there, you have more water than you're capable of controlling. And when that happens, those dams go, and here's the problem with those dams go. If Oroville goes, it will be a complete catastrophe, not only for California, but for the whole country. Because remember, California is the breadbasket of this country. And not only that, it's the breadbasket for, you know, a lot of places in the world. That will cause for the overall food prices to spike like never before. Then what you're going to have to do is that you're going to lose those crops. And when you lose those crops, not only that, you're going to lose those farmlands. And the thing about California farmlands is that there's some remnants of families holding on to family farms, but there aren't a lot of people going into farming because it's just too expensive for them to go into farming. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? It's not only the gold that's in the ground that they want to get, but it's the gold that will come out of the ground known as food production, is that they want to totally control. So what is going to happen if this turns into a major disaster and all that water goes in there and it compromises not only the loss of life, the infrastructure that will be lost, but the over-agricultural infrastructure that will be lost will never be replaced in the way that you have it now. Corporations will take over those farms. One of the things that corporations always do, they understand this. You never buy an asset because you like it. You buy an asset when the seller is asking the wrong price for it. And if that goes into a complete catastrophic default of because of the water, and it's just not one thing, that's going to cascade to make other dams, other reservoirs to overspill and to be compromised, and it's going to be a complete washout. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to put all of the individual family farmers that are left out of business. And when it comes back, it's going to be owned completely by corporations. You think our food supply is bad now? So, listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit star, we'll see you in queue. So we were talking about the ramifications if this thing turns into a complete ecological disaster. And probably be the, it will be one of the worst ever because of where it is strategically placed. And the thing, because it's California, it would have massive repercussions, and it would affect so many people globally, but specifically nationally here in the United States, meaning you and I. Meaning you and I, because of what California does, and this is has nothing to do with the overall structural and loss of life and the economic play from just the catastrophe of the water and waiting for that water to recede and everything else. But there's a much bigger picture here. One of the things in depopulation and one of the things in controlling assets is this, is that the system knows that they control oil, they control nations. If you control hard resources, you control people. This is a way in which to control you, ladies and gentlemen, by way of food. And here why, and this is the reason why this is so significant, because we got to look at who California is and what California represents. And if we do that, we have to go back to, but before I go there, and then sorry about that. Before I go there, one of the things also is that when this water happens, you're going to not only have the disaster of the overall water, but then you're going to have the disaster that follows that from cholera and Norville virus and all these other viruses because of contaminated water that you're going to have. You're going to have a complete ecological disaster and catastrophe like never seen before in the United States. And this is going to be huge. And we have to look at preparing for it accordingly. And we have to look at why this is a strategical move and what it also can offer. And you have to know, why is California so important? And so we're going to do that. But real quick, before we do that, we got Brother Davis in queue. Brother Davis, go ahead.
Hey, Brother Davis, always good to hear the voice of a friend, my man.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Brother Davis?
Hey, man, I'm listening to you, and I'm going to tell you something, brother. All of this stuff is going to come to its fruition. And the reason being is because a lot of it is being perpetuated by greed. And one thing about greed, once that monster gobbles you up, it's hard to get away from greed. But listen, I also want to add to this whole concept is that we should be also saving seed. Because that's
right, that's where I was going to go to, Brother plant. Davis. Exactly.
And see, I'm going to tell you, I'm bringing this up because you all heard me talk about me and my family getting together and buying a farm. Well, we got the farm, and we were out there for the last 5 days. Spectacular, I'm telling you. It's better than we thought. It has three ponds on it. Not one, not two, but three. On three different levels that drain from a major water source into one pond, which is the largest, then into a second pond, which is used as a fish holding. In other words, he literally stocked that with fish. And the third pond, which is actually a filtering system so that we could clean the water before we return it back to the natural habitat. Now, this wasn't our idea. This was the idea of the farmer who literally did this to the land in reference to being able to sustain it and his family, but he passed away, unfortunately. But fortunately, the Davis family was able to get in there and make this purchase. And I'm going to tell you something. I have begun to sit down with my brothers and sisters, and we're planting high tunnels and seed and catching the part of the seasons that are left of what we're going to plant and how we're going to build ground boxes and everything. this is not beyond the individual's ability to do. So
no.
All of these things that are coming, literally, we can do something about it. So on my show tomorrow night, I'm really going to talk about how, in prepping, we should be able to get the information that we need to, once again, identify the local indigenous plants that we can consume, identify good quality soil, also having a seed stash so that you can at least grow your own vegetables to a degree that you can take care of your family or work in conjunction with a community. And these are the things that will be the tools of the future in order for us to not be victimized by what their plan is. And their plan is not anything less than greed. So wherever greed is, evil lies. Make no mistake. So I'm looking forward to having you guys come into tomorrow night's show where we can talk about the agriculture aspect of prepping in order to be able to put a self-sustaining garden together. I appreciate you, brother.
Man, definitely appreciate you, Brother Davis. Looking forward to that show. And Brother Davis is absolutely right. One of the things that's going to happen from if this catastrophe does happen, even if it doesn't happen, it gives you an opportunity to see how vulnerable it is. And you got to look at California as to the importance of it. Now, one of the things about this flood is that flooding is very necessary, and it's a part of the rejuvenation of the land. You have to rehab the land, and flooding is one of the ways. So when they have this flooding, they're going to take out, and the corporations are going to take over farms that were owned by families, and now they're going to be corporatized, and they're going to reap some of the most fertile ground because of the flood that they're now having throughout California, and they're going to be getting it for pennies on the dollar. And one of the things that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is that the overall prices of food is going to skyrocket. In between that season, until you can bring a new harvest, the overall prices of food is going to go up. And one place that the United States gets its food from is from outside countries, Costa Rica, Mexico. And let me ask you, what's the relationship between the United States and Mexico? You already know what Mexico is going to do. Oh, I thought you wanted to kick us out of NAFTA. Oh, I thought you wanted to do this and do that. Now your so-called Sun Belt isn't working, and your farmland isn't working. That's going to put an exorbitant amount of strain on other farms throughout the country. But California is strategically placed where it is because of its access to year-round sun. And the one of the things that first thing that's going to go scarce is that it's going to be difficult for you to find. This is why it's so important for you to be ahead of the game, so that you can seize on opportunity. It's critical for you to acquire non-hybrid heirloom seeds right now, because if that dam goes, you won't be able to buy it for the price that you're buying it for right now. It's not going to be readily available, and if it is readily available, the price on it is going to be exorbitant. This is why it's so important to prepare and plan forward. So, so important. Here's the key with California. You have to look at California for its strategical importance. One, if you look at the seal of California, when you see that woman that's there, the wrong thing is it should be Queen Khalifa instead of the woman that they have on there. It's an imitation of who it really means. That's why that bear is there and everything else. They know, but we don't know. And sometimes we act out on things that we don't know just from what we get taught from within the school system or what we think, and we don't really look to explore our overall horizons, and it's so, so important. What's going on right now in California is going to directly affect you. Now, if, I'll give you the good part, if it doesn't happen, now California will have more water to be able to bring a good harvest to the market, so that will alleviate some of the economic strain. So let me ask you something. In the direction that we're going, do you think that that if someone had the power to maneuver and manipulate weather right now, which direction would they be moving that weather towards? Towards destruction or to a plentiful basket for the common people, the everyday people? We already know. History tells us. And if we don't know, you need to check what's been happening in history. So if they could, they could seed the clouds, or they can move the clouds with the technology that they have right now. There is no need for droughts in today's world. You can make it rain anywhere in the world. It's all a strategy. But for people that don't know, they think that they'll say, well, this is nature or the great creator, or some will say it's God and everything else. No, this is technology that man has had for a very long time, and they use it to their overall benefit. And I'm going to tell you, the last Great Depression, part of that Great Depression, and a very significant part of that Great Depression, it affected the farmers the worst, and it was one of the first things that was targeted was the farmers. The drought. And you could have a drought, ladies and gentlemen, by having water everywhere. So, why is this so important? Let me give you what California is. California, and this is from an article back in 2014, went back from the Washington Post. It's an old article, but it says everything. California's economy is large enough to be admitted into the G8, not the G20, not the G10, not the G15. But the G8, just short of making the G7, because of its overall economic, is GDP. Its GDP, and this was from roughly back in 2014, but in 2015, its GDP was $2.5 trillion. It is actually, when you look at it, it is actually in the top 10 on countries. It's in the top 10 on countries. So let me read this article so you can start to see. Now, what do you think California's economy is based off of? A lion's share, a very strong strategical importance of it, is the overall farming and everything that goes into farming, from supplies to delivery to everything else. This would drastically change shipping, just-in-time delivery system in the states here. So let me check this article out. This comes from the Washington Post. And it says, California economy has surpassed Russia and Italy to become the eighth largest in the world. Right now, it's around the 10th largest. This was from 2014, but now it's like the 10th largest. But that's still significant. According to the Center for Continuous Study of California's Economy, the state gross state product was $2.2 trillion in 2013. It's gone up to $2.5 trillion in 2015, the last time that I was able to check. It probably may be a little more, a little less. I'm not quite sure. It's behind Brazil, but now it's in front of Brazil. California's economy benefits from diversity of job growth and has expanded beyond the tech industry in recent years, says Steve Levy, director of the center. I think the first component is a very large tech surge in the Bay Area, he said. The second component that is done very well is trade and tourism. The key thing there is trade. One of the things is that the port of Los Angeles, the port of Oakland, the port of San Francisco, there's no state that has as many ports as California. The port of San Diego, these are all ingress and outgress of trade. This is why California has the economic wherewithal that it has. So the article goes on. The second component that's done very well is trade and tourism. which is the center in Southern California's home to several ports and tourist destinations prior to the drought. Agriculture in the Central Valley also contributes significantly, he says. This is just a reminder that California is in a strong recovery and is coming back, Levy said. Okay, it looks at the world's largest economy. Here it says the United States, but since then China has passed it, so it would be China and the United States, and then the EU, Japan, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Brazil, and then California. But since that time, it's changed. California is above Brazil. It goes on. The article goes on. Texas and New York have economies larger than many countries. Texas has $1.5 trillion gross, and it puts it behind Australia. New York has $1.3 trillion, putting it behind South Korea. Texas California and Texas are among the 13 states with gross state production growth that outpaced the United States itself in 2013. Many of them in the Midwest. It's large resource based. See, that's the whole thing. Resources, ladies and gentlemen, resources is what matters. Most of it is oil and gas. Okay, so now, why is this so important? What's the significance here? If California has a compromise of these dams, the overall economic direction of this country is not only going to collapse with those reservoirs, because the reserves of this nation economically is going to spill out along with its agriculture, but its economic base of the largest economy within its union will be totally destroyed, and the overall infrastructure to rebuild. Imagine the overall erosion, the infrastructure. This is, in my opinion, was purposely done never to fix these infrastructures so that you could have this opportune moment. How expensive would it be for California to rebuild in these economic times? It would be enormously expensive. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will destroy the economic base. That will destroy the overall economic base throughout this whole country. So many people, even though you don't even know that you're tied into California, would be totally devastated. If you don't have California's economy, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have an American economy. One in which that commands and has the stage that it has right now. And who would that benefit? I could think of a couple of places and a couple of people that would be beneficial too. Because the infrastructure would be destroyed. And then what would the overall value of things in California go to then after that infrastructure is destroyed? Look how far and how long it's taken to rebuild Katrina. Yes, because it's where it is, but the reason why it took so long also is there because they don't want to rehab that because there's gas there. California has the overall productive capability of so much more. They're going to let it drain the swamp. Now you may have an idea what draining the swamp may mean that you've heard so much about. Economically, the U.S. would be facing its largest threat to sovereignty ever, beyond just from the standpoint of a national standpoint, from the corporation standpoint of the United States, the so-called United States of America, would never, through war, through civil war, And everything else that it's ever faced, it would not face something like it would be facing with the collapse of these multiple dams inside that are at a threshold that actually could be compromised. You're at that point where the immediate threat is that you lose those dams, and if you lose those dams and have a cascading effect, a domino effect, and you lose multiple dams, and you lose the Central Valley of California, you have the potential to have the largest economic destabilization event ever. It'll make 2008 look like some banker dropped their wallet. It will make the Great Depression look like someone dropped change from their pocket in comparison, because the overall compromise of the economy in California, it will unwind its $2.5 trillion production, will unwind that 2.5, but it will unwind the trillions in the other economies that are attached to California. And every single state here is attached to California. Where would you get that year? Because how long would it take them to rehab California to fix that? How long would it take them to rehab it to where it would be sustainable again, to where it would be productive? How long would it take them to dig out and to rebuild to where it was productive again? It wouldn't be a year, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't be 2 years. Wouldn't be three or four. It would be an extended time, depending on how bad, how many dams and how much compromise would be there? How many jobs would have to leave California? How many people would have to move out of California? How displaced would the largest economy in the country be with this type of disaster? It would be, as my grandfather used to tell me, that's a knee bender. It would be a complete knee bender, and you have to prepare for it. What's some of the things that you should be preparing for? The obvious is that you need to be preparing the table of preparedness. You need to be able to produce your own food source. Do you know the adverse health effects from not having fresh fruits and vegetables will be? Most people really don't eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, but that will bring in new attacks, and it will actually expose the overall immune system to even further with Fukushima, and then with the GMO foods and everything else. This would be outreaching. What should you be doing? You should be looking at this and seeing what it really is going to be. And if you're in California, the threat to you is much, much greater. That will totally destabilize California because of the migration of people. It will overburden the system itself to the places that people would migrate to. It doesn't have the infrastructure to uphold I would tell you, and I would say, it's always better to have a plan. In case this goes wrong, what have I done to position myself and my family? And this is why planning is so important. Brother Davis has a farm. Brother Davis' farm all of a sudden goes from whatever it was that he paid for to become critically important to the nation. There's a lot of land throughout of this whole nation. If you've ever driven across it, it's so much land, but not all of it is farmable. Yes, there's technology to make it farmable, but are they really going to bring that type of technology? Are they going to say we can't farm it? Or we're still digging out California. Now, just think about the displacement that it will put the United States in. Where would the United States get its food from, ladies and gentlemen? What are they going to do? Because they have to replace that overall food. They wouldn't replace it. You wouldn't have it the way we have it now. You would have more stale food. You would see people eating more Otherwise, now they would say, I'm not eating that. That's stale. Or that's no, you would be eating some things that were out of season, and they would be not in the optimal season form, and they may even be the quality of them may be compromised. You would have to go outside of this country to get food. Who do you think you're going to be getting it from? Mexico and Costa Rica. What is the deal you think Mexico is going to cut with you? When now all of a sudden you wanted to build a wall and you wanted to make them pay for it. You know what they're going to say? You know what? I think we are going to pay for that wall. Man, this is really, really telling. You should be positioning yourself to be able to garden. You should be sprouting. Anyone can sprout. Anyone can sprout in your house, anyone. And the overall nutritional value of sprouting is sometimes far exceeding the fruits and vegetables. You should be trying to getting clean food and the means to get clean food in a sustainable way. Non-hybrid heirloom seeds, ladies and gentlemen, you should be looking at that. They're going to be extremely expensive, and you may not be able to find them. We got a caller in queue. Let me go to this caller really quickly before we go to the commercial break. Hey, Roz, we got 2 minutes before we go to a break. So you want to set up your question, then we come back to you after the break. That could be cool if we do it that way so that we don't break you. So we're going to come back to you after the break, okay?
No problem. Okay, I'll mute myself.
Okay. If you have any background noise, yeah, mute yourself. But if not, you're cool.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so now is the time that you need to be thinking about these things. Whenever you see things happen throughout the world and you see a trend with things happening, in today's world, I think you need to look at, okay, now, what's really being said? How does this resonate with me, and how do I need to respond to it? That does not mean that you need to be antsy and scared about everything, but you need to be discerning and observe everything. Oh, food is something that you need every day, yes? Imagine the overall quality of food. We are definitely going to be going into a crisis of health because of the quality of food by not having any meaningful fruits and vegetables that come out of California if the Central Valley is compromised by water. Man. This is very real. So listen, everyone, getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit **. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We're coming right to you guys right after that.
Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're in our last half hour of the show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, then hit **. We'll see you in queue. We're talking about preparing for the worst-case scenario inside of California and the overall breadbasket of the United States, the Sunshine State, Khalifa's land. and the retaking of it and what that means for you, how to position yourself. One of the things that you can position yourself, the good side of it is that if it doesn't happen now, California has the overall water capacity to bring more food production to or to bring cheaper food for you, the everyday person. But I doubt that that's the case that's going to happen here. It is going to be a drought by a deluge. So we got a caller in queue. My man Roz came in early. Man, this is a treat. Let's go to Roz. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio Show.
Steve, what's good, my brother? You all right?
Yes, sir. What's happening, bro?
Yes, sir. I'm checking in because this is a great show. I'm thinking because Donald Trump hasn't said a thing about Oroville. He's so busy focused on his executive orders and who he's going to have as, you know, secretary of this and secretary of that. He's not even paying attention to the dam at all, which, in my opinion, says that it's an inside job, that they use HARP to create this scenario. That's my opinion. When you talk about gold, that's exactly what it is. They're going to flood. It reminds me of when I went to Egypt and we went to Lake Nasser, and they actually flooded the Nubian people out, and they flooded their sacred burial grounds that were extremely ancient. And there's a lot of artifacts that were lost, as well as their ancestors. They couldn't even, reach their ancestors anymore. They're under thousands of feet of water. And this reminds me of that. And like you said, it's to get at the gold that's in the ground. When you talked about the pennies on the dollar for the land, I could see Monsanto running up in there and putting all their GMO products and destroying the soil. And like you said, it would be fertile because that flood is identical to the Nile flood every year, which brings fertile soil from Ethiopia and Uganda down to Egypt for Egypt to have its own breadbasket. So all of this, it just seems like a setup. And it also seems like it would lead into a state of emergency situation where they can instate martial law and create a situation where they gain massive amounts of control using military force over the populace. So to me, it just seems like an inside job. America is notorious for doing things to its own populace, whether it's spraying their own citizens with chemtrails, or this past summer I read that they put chemicals in different train stations throughout New York City. They put them in the ventilation system just to see how the public reacted to what they were spraying. So America's notorious for experimenting on their own people. And I just think this is a huge setup simply because, like I said, he's the president. Donald Duck is the president of the United States of America. And this is, like you're positing now, one of the most important events potentially in a very long time as far as natural disaster. And he's not a peep out of him about that. He's worried about signing executive orders and doing what he's doing. So it all looks
to me
like
the governor you haven't heard the governor of California say a word because he knows he's culpable in this whole thing. You're absolutely right, Roz. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just really seems like they're trying to set up like a Walking Dead situation, but they're going to use food stores. The fact that California is a major part of our food stores to do so. And like you said, it's just about preparing, getting those seeds together, saving as much food as possible, long-term items, canned goods, for emergencies as far as like what you were discussing with Rob yesterday, as far as just preparing for emergencies, any sort of physical situations, medical situations. It's a lot to think about. And I don't know, but I can see this being set up on purpose and this dam actually being imploded. I mean, they did that with Katrina. They blew the dams, and that wasn't the first time they blew the dams.
They blew the levees. Yep.
So I can see that. Yeah, the levee. Thank you. And I can see them doing something like that here to instate what they're trying to move forward with, and maybe actually move forward with it at a more rapid pace. That was my contribution. Thank you so much for a great show. And I'll mute my line.
Man, well said.
If there's any other information you have that might lend credence to that position, because I just took the position just based on what's not being done and what's not being said, and then what's being said about, you know, the importance of this particular area.
Yep. And see, the thing is, hold on, Roz, don't mute yourself. And what's really important about this whole thing is that you're having the perfect scenario being played out here. They took the focus. Everyone's focus is on Lake Oroville, but all of the important infrastructural dams are now being threatened by too much water. And so they're all filling up. Now, I want to take a different approach to it all. How about this? I want you to really think about it. They've created this environment. This is why you have these celebrity figurehead people. They know what's going to happen so they could start to say and methodize things so they look like they went along smoothly and they had nothing to do with it. They have plausible deniability. Here's another thing that I could definitely see. Sometimes when you know, in my opinion, as I've already said, I think that the overall global governments are one big fraternity against you and I. That's just what it is. They have power and they just have a stage where they make like they're some separate state or some nationalistic or things that have borders that separate that you're an American and you're a Brazilian and this and that. And when you look at it, it's the same control and the same different degrees, you know, but it changes hands. So they're in one big fraternity because what do? They keep secrets. They know each other's secrets. They tell each other and they have all of their meetings behind closed doors that you're not privy to because it's national security that they're talking about and you don't have a clearance for that. Why don't you have a clearance for that? Because they don't want you to know what they're really talking about and what's really being done. Why do they have secrets? To keep you from knowing. And to keep you supporting that system. But here, no one get too far. Here's what I can also see. One of the things that, what was the Japanese? I'm going to say it wrong. Yamamoto. I think it was Admiral Yamamoto. During World War II. He said, it's physically impossible. No, he didn't say this. He said that it would be almost impossible to invade the United States because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. Right? There's more guns in the United States than there are people in the United States by multiple folds. There's more guns in the United States than of all of the military personnel in the world, including China's, at multiple of five, or I think, no, seven. Just the guns, and that's just the registered ones. So now, what happens if you totally destabilize a city by flood? Has it ever been done before in history? Yes, it has, on multiple terms. Now, I'm just playing to where you can see the possibilities of it all. And you can say, no, that's not the case. But in today's world, you can manipulate the weather. So now, what if China says, okay, check this out, America. You owe us this. You ain't going to pay us back. You can't pay us back. We want to reignite ourselves with some of our ancestral ties to the state and the West Coast of the United States, particularly California. And I'm going to give you some instances where that definitely could be feasible. When they had that Bundy Ranch thing, that whole thing in Bundy Ranch, when they drove all those ranchers out of Nevada, the reason why they drove them out of Nevada, they sold that land, and there was a Chinese company that bought the land and was going to put up a solar farm, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the thing about solar, silver is important. The key was they wanted that land because of what was underneath it. And that is the largest in the United States. Nevada has the largest rare earth minerals in the United in the world. Excuse me, not in the world. China has the largest, but the United States has the second one of the largest deposits of rare earth minerals. And you can't fight a war or have technology without rare earth minerals. California is rich and abundant because of its fertility of its soil, its location on the globe, its position, its latitude and longitude positioning. What if, said Joe, United States, you can't pay us back, so we'll take California. How we're going to take California is that we're going to move a lot of people out of California. How would you get a lot of people out of California? How would you get a lot of people out of California? Well, very easy. You migrate them out. How do you migrate them out? You migrate them out by having them establish a standard of living that they no longer can upkeep. And by not being able to upkeep that standard of living, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to move. So how do you do that? You destroy their economic base. How do you do that very quickly? Easy. California can actually, United States can be invaded. The key is that you don't need to use it by a gun first to do it. All you have to do is starve it out. Economically deprive it. That will move people, and then you can go in and take and have less opposition to it. The people
hey, can I say a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
I'm sorry for interjecting. I was gonna say, you know, in the Art of War, they always talk about, you know, the best way to win a war is without having to fire a shot. So this situation is a great setup for that. And I brought this up once before on the show. This was like 2 years ago. I was watching a documentary on PBS where they were discussing the fact that China bought up every single rare earth mineral site on U.S. soil. There was only one that they did not own that was owned by a white guy, and it was the only one that the U.S. had access to. All of the other ones were bought up by China 20 years ago, and they said at that time, America had no idea the importance of rare earth minerals in regards to technology. So they basically sold that land thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. And now, you know, 20 years later, bang, we're in a situation where just about everything that's worth anything has to have rare earth minerals in those products. So if China, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was somewhere in that West Coast area. So, I mean,
it was in Nevada.
They might end up. Yeah, when I saw the documentary, I know that the guy was on somewhere on the West Coast. So they might end up trying to take that last site, which will literally cut the U.S. off outside of its machinations with other European powers that are controlling the Congo, because we know the Congo is literally like the epicenter of rare earth minerals on a global scale.
Yeah.
It set off a chain reactions in regards to events of destabilization in Africa and other parts of the world for the U.S. in order for the U.S. to access the rare earth minerals that China is now in control of. So there's a lot to think about in regards to what's brewing here. And again, it's just the United States turning against their own citizens, which they've done many, many times in U.S. history. If, you know, as long as people study history and pay attention, that's what they're notorious for doing. And that's why I always say that, Germany did win the war when you look through World War II. Because American people are British, and British people are direct descendants of Germans, as are Scottish, Irish, French. They're all from the people called Jutes, which are the original German people. So you have a bunch of Nazis running the United States, no different than the Nazis that are running Germany. And that's it. I'll mute my line. Thanks again.
Yeah, so true, Rod. That's absolutely true. So what do we do in the last couple of minutes? What do we do? Okay, now, I think that it's very, very important, as always, the table of preparedness. You have to look at, okay, now, if our overall food production is going to get compromised by California, then we need to be moving some of our resources or some of our ability in our mediums of exchange, our ability to buy these things, food, seeds, and essentials. You get what you can get. Now, if nothing happens in California, what do you lose by acquiring real assets? Absolutely at all. Nothing at all. Now, what's the opposite effect? What if you don't prepare and it does happen? Where do you have the opportunity to lose? Everything. Have the opportunity to lose everything. What is going to happen to those individuals that prepare for this by acquiring farmland, by acquiring seeds, by being able to produce their own food, by being able to sustain themselves because they have different assets? What are they going to be able to do that everyone else is not going to be able to do, but people are going to threaten them? Definitely. But still, all in all, they're in a much better position than anyone else that didn't prepare. So what do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Every single one of you are different. Your overall, where you live, your everything is different. What you have to become is a prodigious saver. You have to stop consuming and start saving. And I'm not talking about cash. You use cash to save real things that you're going to need. And be strategical. Make sure that you are diverse. You know, sometimes you'll hear investors say talking about you got to have a diverse portfolio. They got stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and this and that. That's not a diverse. That's all paper-based. Paper, 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 paper. What physical things do you have that have intrinsical value, that have intrinsical wherewithal, that has a physical existence and capabilities and talents that you can resonate with? That's an asset. Acquire those things, ladies and gentlemen.
Brother
Davis, we got 2 minutes.
Okay, listen, tomorrow night's show, I'm going to take you into a lot of areas of endeavor that would allow you to sustain a certain tangible product. You may not have heard of free-range herders and flockers. Well, flockers are people who raise flocks of ducks and flocks of chickens, flocks of geese. These are things that literally become edible and may become a value to the system. And this tomorrow night's show is going to open the door into free-range herding, everything from goats to pigs. And it doesn't always have to be the pig you see it to be. And I don't know if you know it or not, but there's a wild boar problem in the southwest part of America. There's a lot of avenues that we got to tap into, but you got to know about them first. And then once you do, you got to do your due diligence to make them, or the possibility of adding them as to your preparation plan. So listen, tomorrow night's show is going to be a bomb, Dave. You keep on doing it, brother, and we keep hanging in there. Peace, everybody.
That's it, Brother Davis. And I can't wait for tomorrow's show because Brother Davis is absolutely right. And it's very important that you know these things and then how you can apply them to yourself. That's why it's so important. Call in with your questions, comments, your concerns. These are things that we all should be sharing. This is the tree. You know what? It's very important that we feed the roots. Very important to feed the roots, because you will see that many people will always pick from that tree until it's barren. And then if you do not feed the roots, that overall fruit bearer will no longer bear any fruit. Very, very important. You have to be a root feeder. You have to be. First and foremost, but most of us that we've been taught just to be the easy side of the fruit eater. No, that's not sustainable. So very, very important. So I'm looking forward to Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis tomorrow. Very, very important, especially in these times. Ladies and gentlemen, continue to prepare, because what you see, the overall agenda behind it is what you weren't invited to, but you can resonate and see the truth beyond it all because you have that talent and capability. Much love, much respect. Thanks, Roz. Thanks, Brother Davis. Thanks, Scotty. Thank you all for listening to Kando Radio Show. And as I always say, it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love and much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.